All right, so our next session is on SharePoint and Office Development with Visual Studio 2010. My name is John Wiese. I'm an ISV Architect Evangelist based out of Milwaukee, so just a little short trip up the road. Somebody from Milwaukee down here, all right, yeah. If anybody knows of a cheap closer for the Brewers, we're looking. Now that Trevor Hoffman's washed up and done. All right, I think we're good. I think we got most people in. We do have a few more seats up front. If people straggle in here, they can find a spot. Let's go ahead and get started. We got a lot to cover here in an hour, almost 55 minutes at this point. So SharePoint, who's working on SharePoint today? All right, a lot of people, 2007, 2003, earlier than that. Oh, wow, all right, we got an earlier one. Great. So you guys have been around. You guys know that people are adopting SharePoint like crazy. 100 million licenses of SharePoint sold. So definitely big adoption in the marketplace. Enterprises love it. End users love it. It's a great platform for them, for applications, for document management, and all the things that SharePoint's capable of. And, you know, that obviously, as we can see here from the number of hands, hasn't been lost on developers around the world. We're seeing close to, at this point, we're getting very close to a million developers, we figure, are developing on SharePoint in some way, shape, or form. So a lot of development going on in SharePoint. One of the things we want to talk about today is that having this platform, that SharePoint gives you this comprehensive platform that has got this thriving ecosystem out there, opens doors for developers all over the place. And one of the ways that you can do that, that we're going to talk about today in depth, is by leveraging your existing skills that you already have. So if you know Visual Studio, which I'm assuming everybody in here knows Visual Studio, I want to ask, if you know ASP.NET, if you're doing, how many ASP web developers, ASP.NET? Great, so most of you. All right, well, you're all SharePoint developers now. So you'll be able to leave here today and do SharePoint development. So we're going to tell you how. We're going to show you how that happens. And then, you know, just leveraging these skills that you already have to do SharePoint development is what we tried to make possible with Visual Studio 2010 and SharePoint 2010. So, how many people are line of business developers building apps for your companies? All right, so that's, you know, good 60% of the audience here. Great. So as a line of business developer, your main goal, right, is to take business knowledge, business workflows, and business information that people have and how things work and turn that into applications, right? So building on SharePoint, one of the things SharePoint gives you out of the box is a lot of the framework and underlying fundamentals that you would be building yourself today. We start in SharePoint at the base building on .NET Framework 3.5, ASP.NET, and Windows Workflow Foundation 3.5. So workflow developers, a few, great. So we'll get more of you after today. We already know ASP.NET and 3.5. Anybody still doing like really old 1.0.1.1.NET? Maintaining apps, hopefully not building more of them. Yeah, okay. Yeah, unfortunately we can't support you in SharePoint, but all right. So SharePoint, SharePoint Foundation. So WSS, our old WSS product, the free version of SharePoint, now called SharePoint Foundation. SharePoint Foundation encompasses all the services and things that you might be able to use within your application within it. So you have things like authorization. You have things like list management and others that you can now access through Visual Studio as you're building your app. So here we see this huge list that is part of SharePoint Foundation, document libraries, users, self-services. These are just some of them. There's actually quite a bit more that you can use when building your app. And just in case anybody's wondering, SharePoint Server, the big brother to Foundation, is built on top of these services as well. So we ourselves are using these built-in services in Foundation to build SharePoint Server, just like you can do that with your own applications. So you no longer, if you're building on SharePoint, you don't have to write an authorization module and try and do that all yourself. You can use the authorization UI. You don't have to figure out how to do all the lists and things to maintain information in the background. You can use the built-in SharePoint stuff, use the services and client object models and things that we're going to talk about today to do that in your own applications. And here we have the way that we view SharePoint. We break it up into these six different areas. We have sites. So, of course, that's going to encompass all the things related to the website, subsites, all the things that you can do there. Communities, so that gets into some of our social networking type things that we've added into SharePoint. Content, of course, for content management, web content management. Composites, so that's a new category. If you've seen this pie before, composites and insights might look new to you. So composites, the concept there is being able to take data and information from multiple areas and combine them into one. So make a composite application, a mashup, if you will. Insights gets into our analytics. So with 2007, we added Performance Point Server into SharePoint. So that will give you business analytics and BI capabilities. And then, of course, search, for doing search across all your documents and external data as well. All right. So, yeah, learning is hard. That's probably harder, I'd say, but so we know that there is a steep, or there was actually a steep learning curve for SharePoint. With any new technology, a lot of your time as a developer is going to be focused on learning this new technology. You're probably spending time not only at work, at home, free time, just to learn the technology to a point where you can make it viable as a solution for you in your business or in your day-to-day job. SharePoint, no exception. How many people like the current way of deploying in SharePoint from Visual Studio? Yeah, I'm not seeing any hands, no. All right, so we got some great stuff going there. I think you may have seen some of it in the keynote, but we'll talk through that again. But we've made some great strides with 2010, with SharePoint 2010 and Visual Studio 2010, to make SharePoint a lot easier to develop. Again, as I mentioned before, you can leverage your existing ASP.NET skills for building web forms to create web parts. No longer do you have to learn, you know, a lot of the underlying XML information or worry about GUIDs in order to find stuff inside SharePoint. We've made that seamless for you as a developer to not have to worry about that. We've added a number of features into Visual Studio 2010 to help with that, some packaging and configuration information that you can use built in, nice UI. You don't have to go into the XML and try and figure out what properties have to be set where. So what we hope to show you is how this isn't the case anymore for SharePoint. So before we dive into, you know, some of the samples and a little bit deeper, we'll talk about, you know, the options available to you as a developer to make you productive on SharePoint. The first one, of course, we start on the left, Visual Studio 2010. Everybody needs that. That's the prime development tool. What we've done there is we've added project templates. So if you've used the WSS extensions for SharePoint or for Visual Studio, you don't have to use it anymore. It's all built in. SharePoint's now a first-class citizen for projects inside Visual Studio. And you'll see when I get to the first demo, I'll bring that up, show you a nice list, and show you what's available to you in there. We've added the WSP packaging functionality into Visual Studio. And again, if you're a current developer, you're going to really like the fact that you don't have to do anything other than hit F5. Visual Designers. So we have Visual Designer for ASP.NET Web Forms. We have those also for Web Parts and other SharePoint ribbons and things like that. Windows 7. How many people don't do SharePoint because they have to install it on a server to develop against? All right, we got at least one. I know there's more. I've heard it hundreds of times. Like I said, I work with ISVs. A lot of ISVs don't want to install server on all their desktops for their developers. Well, with 2010, we now allow you to install on a 64-bit version of Windows 7 or Windows Vista Service Pack 2. So now you can develop on your client machine, which is what my VM is, so you'll see me doing that. ALM, next one. We've already seen the great presentation from Clark and Angela on ALM. But now with 2010, we also have the ability to use TFS for source code control for SharePoint. So no longer do you have to kind of manually do that process of just go over and add your files some other way or use a different source code control. You can now use Team Foundation Server integrated in Visual Studio for your SharePoint projects. And then the last piece for you as a developer to make you productive is SharePoint Designer. We've actually kind of redone SharePoint Designer somewhat to be focused around artifacts. If you've used SharePoint Designer in the past, You're probably familiar with the tree on the left where we give you the nice file structure and you kind of have to know what lives where. So again, getting back to that learning curve in SharePoint of figuring out, well, where does my master page live in the directory structure? Where do my assets go? Where do my site pages go? All those things. Well, now with Designer 2010, which by the way is still a free download, so no charge to use Designer. In 2010, we now show you an artifact tree. So everything is where you'd think it would be. You want to find your site pages? There's site pages. You just go there and look for it. You want to find your master pages? You go to the master pages and find them there. You don't have to know the directory structure anymore. It's all intuitive based on how that works. We've also added a workflow designer in SharePoint Designer 2010, a little redundant. And the ability to export as WSP, which is an interesting feature. So you can take something that you're working on, export it as a WSP right from Designer, and then import that on another server. So easy way to move things around. And we'll see some of this in action as we go through. So, all right, Superman. So, like I had mentioned earlier, the goal is to make sure that everybody realizes that just using ASP.NET like you do today and Visual Studio with the capabilities built into Visual Studio 2010 and SharePoint 2010 makes everybody in this room that's doing ASP.NET web forms, which is almost everybody, a SharePoint designer, a SharePoint developer. So I'm going to show you how easy that is, just so you aren't thinking that I'm smoke and mirrors, got stuff up my sleeves. So let me switch over to my virtual machine. And I've counterfeited. Woo-hoo. All right, so as long as we don't blue screen, we're all right. All right, so I have a SharePoint site here. I have the typical blue yonder. I think you guys have probably seen this already this morning. Typical blue yonder site. This is a customer relations site. So the idea here is we get information from external data sources, whether that's an external website or some other operator taking calls or whatever the case might be. And we have this data, and we want to surface it internally somehow so that our internal users can find us, whether that's the actual customer relations people, if it's management, whoever that's going to be. So that's kind of our scenario for this session is building upon this site. So the first thing I want to do is I want to surface this data. I've got this data sitting out in a database someplace in a SQL server, and I want to surface it. It's all the complaints that people have had when they've flown on our airline because, nobody complains when they fly on the airlines these days. And so it's a small list, nothing to worry about. But what we want to do is we want to take this data that's sitting in a SQL database someplace and surface it in our SharePoint site so that people can see it. And we want to do that as quickly and easily as we can. So I'm going to jump into Visual Studio. And I'm going to create a new project. And I'm going to go here in Visual C Sharp and go to SharePoint. And you'll see here if we scroll down, is that good? Can you guys see that in the back? Do I need to blow that up a little bit? Looks good? All right. So we've got a number of projects here now, which we didn't have before. We can create an empty SharePoint project and do it all from scratch. We can create Visual Web Part, which is what we're going to do. We have some workflow templates. We've got a business data connectivity model, which is something new that we'll talk about in a little bit. We've got list definitions and modules and site definitions. So we have a large number of projects that are built in now. And we can also, 2010 versus 2007. So there we go. You can see the difference. All right. So in 2010, I'm going to do a visual web part. I'm going to call this feedback web part demo. And I don't need that. All right, so first thing it's going to do is ask me, where do I want to deploy it? Site for debugging, and what I really want to do here is I want to do this as a customer relations demo. So I'm just going to point it at my site, and I'll go ahead and validate it. I'm just going to go out and make sure that that's actually a SharePoint site, which it is. And then I can go ahead and finish. And what it's going to do for me is it's going to go ahead and create our new folder structure. So as we look over here on the right, let me switch this over, pin that so that's a little easier to see, and zoom in. It's a little bit easier. So if you look on the top of the screen here, as I scroll down, you can see some of our new things that we have. So we package features up in a features folder now. We have our package information in the package folder. We have a visual web part folder that encloses all of our stuff for our web parts. And all that stuff is, you know, kind of, you know, pulled together in a nice, easy way to find compared to how we had done it in the past. So what I'm going to do is just go here into my file and change the name. So let me maximize that again. So I'm going to give it a name just so that it's easier to find in my site. Back. And just to make it easy, I'll match it. So feedback web part demo. So all I'm doing is setting it so that when SharePoint shows this in the list, we know which one it is, easier to find. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go here and do split view designer. So you can see that we have full split view for our web part. Again, if you're doing ASP.NET forms, web forms, this should look very familiar. It's the exact same thing. And then in my toolbox, I'm going to drag a thing over here. So again, I have all of my standard toolbox items available. I have some special SharePoint controls that I can use. And what I'm going to do is data, and I'm going to go ahead and drag a list view over to my page. And that's going to drop my list view on here. And then just to save some time, I've got a snippet that I'm going to use that's going to show you my HTML snippets with my list view. And that's going to go ahead and customize my list. And you've noticed that pretty quickly, I got the little view is out of sync. That's one of the new enhancements we'll talk about in a different session. But it automatically, right away, knew I was out of sync between the two, and I just clicked that, and now I get my formatting. So here, all I've done is just format my list view to look a little bit nicer for people to see. All right, so we are good to go. One more thing I didn't add in. We got to have data. We got to bind it to something. So I'm going to go ahead and add a new service reference. I've got a web service that I created, and actually later on in the Windows session this afternoon, I'll create this from scratch. So we'll see what happened and how this got created. But for now, I just need to set this up from RC. All right. Oh, wrong site. It's on my site, not on the on there. No, it's not. All right. Let me pull this up here. And actually, let me do this. I'm going to, in the interest of time, I have a service that's not running, so I'm going to jump over here and do it on the other one. Let me show you this deployment, and I'll show you deployment after this. Let me go ahead and go to the pre-built site. All right, so I'm on the same site. I've actually done the deployment here, and I'll show you the deployment in just a second. I just don't have that service running for some reason. So I'm going to edit this page. And what I'm going to do here is, once edit comes up, I'm going to insert into my left grid there. I'm going to insert a web part. And if I go under custom, I have a non-deployed web part. All right. Let me go back. I'm going to deploy this as is and just show you the deployment. So we won't have any data for it, but you can see here in the box here, the output box, what's happening is we're going through, we're doing a lot of stuff that you had to do by hand before. So in the past, there was about 17 steps that you had to go through with STS admin from the command line to create your package. You had to retract it from the existing servers. You had to go ahead and deploy it. You had to activate it. You had to do all kinds of stuff. Well, now we do all that for you just by hitting F5. So it's gone ahead and done all this, and what's going to happen next is my deployment succeeded. It's going to bring up Internet Explorer and take me to my site, and then I can go through and add that part. So I'll go through and add it, just so you see how we do the adding at this point. And then I will go back to the demo, or to the rest of the demo. Here we go. So coming up, we'll see the site here in just a second, and then I can add that part. So the site's taking a little longer. Beauty of a virtual machine. Sometimes it just doesn't want to run. Stop that and refresh it. There we go. All right. So what I can do then is edit the page, go out to my insert, grab my web part, and drop that on the page. Custom feedback web part demo is there now. And if I hit add, it'll drop it on the page. Up at the top. So if I had moved my cursor, it would show it up at the bottom. And unfortunately, since I didn't have the web service running for whatever reason, it's not going to show us any data, but I'll get back to that when we get to the next demo. So let's go ahead and switch back over here and move forward. Okay. So a couple of the highlights from that demo. Obviously, the key highlight that we want you to take away is the ease of deployment now. So one of the key highlights, ease of deployment, that in the past, what would have taken you probably 20, 30 minutes yourself, some batch files, things like that, single keystroke F5 to deploy that now. The other thing that is the key takeaway is you didn't see me write anything specific to SharePoint in that at all. I changed the title in an XML file to get it to show a title. I didn't have to. I could have used the default title. But to make it easier, I changed the title. But all I did other than that was drag a list view onto a form just like I do in ASP.NET. What I didn't get to was connecting to the service, which everybody's connected to a web service, I'm sure, through ASP. And then just binding that data through a simple data source and bind. So nothing that a normal ASP.NET web form developer can't do, and yet I did it on SharePoint, nothing extra. So those are the two key things to think about as we move forward. So as we move forward, three things that we want to talk about for the rest of the session here. Three things that are, you know, very important in all of your day-to-day jobs, I'm sure, as developers. One, connecting data to people. So bringing data from wherever it lives, surfacing that to people to consume that in whatever way that they need to consume it, whether that's through an application, through Excel, through SharePoint, anything like that. We want to talk about enabling rich data visualizations, and specifically using SharePoint and Silverlight. So we're going to walk through some Silverlight. So this is bringing that data, not just throwing in a list or in a form, but, you know, visually giving them a richer form of looking at that data and making decisions. And then going where your users are. So the last thing we want to talk about is Office. You know, everybody lives in Office. We want to surface data where users are going to use it and make it convenient for them so that they don't have to go find it someplace else. In an external application, even SharePoint in some cases, it might make more sense to surface that someplace else. So we're going to focus on Excel and taking data and surfacing that through Excel for the users to consume. So starting people versus data. Lots of data out there. Everybody's interested in looking at the data that they've got. They want to see it in a specific way. They want to get at specific information of data. So lots of different ways to go ahead and explore data for users. And we're going to look at a way here to take data and do it through some forms. So we may have to figure out how to get the core service running for us there. But the idea is that we have the service that's servicing our data from an Excel database. And what we want to do is turn that external data into a SharePoint list so that we can operate on it. So part of what we did with SharePoint 2010, how many people have used the Business Data Connector, actually, in 2007. So we have a new service, Business Connectivity Services, in 2010. And What that does is allow us to get at external data in an easier way that we could in the past. So what we want to do here is we want to surface that data using the BDC and the Business Data Connector and the Business Connectivity Services as a list in SharePoint. And then we want to be able to use that list to trigger workflows to make things easier for people on the back end to consume that data. So let's go ahead and do that. And let me just find quickly, make sure that I've got the right URL for that service since it's not auto-populating. There we go. All right. Yep, I had the wrong address, so we can fix that. All right, easy enough. Okay. So let me go in here, and while we're in here, let me just go ahead and fix this one here. Oh, yeah, thanks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back here where we were. I'm going to add the service reference, and for whatever reason, this is actually running off a local host. Instead on its own server, 32.767, there we go. So now, if the demo gods are with me now, I will get a service that I can connect to. Maybe they're not. There we go. All right, so. Great, so we have a service now. So I'm going to call this Blue Yonder Data. I'm going to go ahead and hit OK. And then the last piece that I need to do is hook up that the load of that, essentially. So I'm going to go into my part, and I'm just going to add in that code, which is here. Anybody who's done the web service development, I imagine this is probably familiar to most of you. All I'm doing here is creating a proxy to my data service where my entities are, and I'm going ahead and calling the function getAllFeedbacks and binding that out there. So now that I've done that, if I go ahead and deploy it now, we'll finish demo number one and then move on to demo number two. So again, we do go through all the steps there with STS admin. We've done all the deployment and everything for you behind the scenes. We've done all the retracting and activating. And now what I can do is come out here, edit my page. And since I had never saved the page, it's not out there. So I can insert my web part, go to custom, there's my feedback, click add. And this time, what we'll see is we'll actually see my templated form. There we go. With our web part. So what we get here is we get all of these entries from people about what they didn't like about the flight that they were on. So our customer service reps have entered this in some way, shape, or form, and now we want to be able to consume the data. We got a couple things we're going to hook up later. We're going to hook up this add task. But right now what we want to do is go ahead and add our connector to get to this external data a different way and surface it as a list. So first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a new item into my project. And what I need to add is a feedback model. So so if I come back down here, I need a business, there we go, data. SharePoint, there we go. A business data connectivity model. So that's going to allow me to go ahead and connect to an external source. So I'm going to call that feedback model. And that's going to add this in here. And what I'm actually going to do is instead of creating this from scratch here and in here, I'm going to actually go into my entity for that. So now we're getting into a little bit deeper stuff here. We've got an entity here. I'm going to replace this with what I want it to look like. This is just kind of the default. What is my entity that I'm exposing look like? I'm going to go ahead and change this over to my feedback model. There we go. So very simple. I have an ID, I have a message, and I have the mileage level that the person's at. So think about it, like gold, silver, platinum, traveler type thing. So we've done that. Next thing we're going to do is go into our service. And I'm going to go ahead and do the same thing here. I've got all of this built out. So I'm going to change this. And we'll just take a quick look at that then. So this is going to go ahead and feedback. What is this one called? This one is called the BDC, right? Yeah. BDC. So we got BDC service. So again, here the idea is we connect to our data. Then we do some things. We're parsing the ID out of our request here. And we're going out, we're grabbing from that proxy that we created all the feedback related to that particular ID and all the information from it. And then we're going to create a new entity, and we're going to return these entities back to whoever is trying to consume them. All right, so I need to set up my last piece, which is the actual data connectivity here. Here we go. And instead of editing in here, I'm going to show you a different way to edit this. I can actually do open with and do XML text editor and look at the actual underlying text in XML. And the reason I'm going to do that is just I'm going to do the same thing here and kind of show you, there we go, that we can do snippets as well in XML now. So I have XML snippets, and I have a BCS model. And that's just going to replace everything with my new BCS model. So if I go ahead and save this and then jump back over here and view it in the original browser, it'll look pretty much the same, except for now it has all my properties that I set up in my entity. It's got the ID, it's got my read list and read item information, it's got the names and stuff to match up. So instead of doing that all by hand, I can just do that quickly there for us. And I'll go ahead and run it. And what we'll get is a new list that we're going to create off of that. And adding my solution, deploying here, you see it took us a little bit longer because we had to retract, restart IIS, and all that fun stuff that has to happen in there is going on. It's deploying our package right now, and then we'll get back into our site where we can create a new list. And we're going to base this list off of this particular external content type that we just created, so this external list that we've created in code. We're going to create a new list called feedback, and what's that? That's going to surface all that data in a new list. So if I come over here and create a new list, we have an external list option, so we're going to create list, and we're going to give it a name. Feedback. And then down here we see we have a new option for our data source, and I'm going to use this option here on the far right, which is a little hard to see. Basically says what is your external content picker, who are you getting this from? And there's two, because I have the kind of the pre-canned site, and then I have the site that we're working off of. So I'll make sure I grab the right one that I just deployed. And now if we go ahead and say okay or create, this is going to go ahead and create a new list for me, but that list is going to be surfacing all of that external data on the SharePoint site. And then we'll go ahead and use that in another way as we move forward. So here we see we've got a new list called feedback. We've got all the same things that we saw in that original web part that we created surfaced here as a list that we can take offline, and we can also do other things with. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to close that and come back into here. We're going to go ahead and add, I suppose I could show you that too. Just to show you what we're going to do, let me jump back over here, make it a little bit easier to kind of follow along. So we've got this feedback list, and one of the things that we want to do is we want to create tasks automatically off of particular feedback. So whenever a platinum level person creates a feedback, we want to create a task off of that. And then we want to do things off of it, right? So they're our highest level member. We want to be able to help them when they say they have an issue. We want to try and, they're the first ones we want to take care of. So the first thing we're going to do is we have this task list over here. And we're going to go ahead and sync this up with the platinum. We're going to be able to tie in a task to a specific item on that other list. And then after that, we're going to add a workflow. Because what we want to do is we want to have it happen automatically. We want to be able to just automatically click a button, it puts it in the task for us, and a workflow kicks off, sends email, whatever the case might be. And so that's where we're going to go next. So let me jump back into Visual Studio. And we're going to add to our existing project. So we're just going to keep going here. I'm going to add a new item here. All right. So let me do this first. I'm going to go back out here, and I'm going to edit my web page itself first. Because what we're going to do to tie this up and create our task is we're going to tie in these little icons now. So before we added this visualization on top of our list, and now we have this little clipboard with the plus, we want to have that go ahead and add to our task automatically. So I'm going to go ahead and do that, but I'm going to do that in JavaScript. So what I want to show you here is the ability to add or access this SharePoint model through JavaScript, so you can actually interact with the web page that way as well. So we have a new client object model that is available outside of SharePoint and available in Silverlight and JavaScript, and we'll show Silverlight later. So what I'm going to do is create a new script. And I've got that in here as well, and we'll walk through that. Let's see. That one. Okay. And let me just put it in source so it's easier to see. So what we're doing here is we're using the new object model. It's defined as SP, as one of our registrations. We grab the client context to get our current context, and we grab the web, and then we grab the task list, and then we're going to add our new item to that. So we're creating a new item in the list, and we're setting it to the information that's coming out of that particular list view entry that we have. So if we want to go ahead and see this in, I got to add one more thing here that I did forget, the first part that I was going to add. Need to go ahead and I've added that. Add. I need to add a. What am I missing? I'm missing one thing that I need. No, I don't think so. I think we're good. I think we actually are good there. I'm getting ahead of myself to the workflow. So again, deploying, putting it all out there, and now we'll see it when we click that button. We'll get a task added automatically for our entry that we can then use. So then we can extend that further to workflow, add a workflow behind the scenes for people to run. And I think just due to time, I'll probably skip the workflow one for you right now and go through that just to make sure we get through it. But here, if I scroll down and I click Flight 30, and I click Add Task, it's going to run my JavaScript. No, it's not. That was a step. See, I knew there was a step I had missed. I didn't hook it up. All right. We're getting too close with the first demo not working right away. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and just move on for us so that we get through the rest of the stuff. All right, so things that we did see there, we saw pretty much everything except the workflow part of it. We saw the visual web part designer earlier. We saw the BDC designer here where we can create a model. We can outline our entities and everything that we want to use there. We can connect to that and expose that as a list inside SharePoint. What we were getting to at the end there was being able to connect that to some other list, just like it was, you know, the lists were linked. And then we were going to add a workflow on top of that to automatically kick off, but I'm going to go ahead and move forward so we get past that. We want to get to enabling rich visualizations. So Silverlight, who's not heard of Silverlight? Good. All right. So Silverlight, of course, is our rich internet application framework. Silverlight runs cross-browser, so IE, Firefox, Chrome, Safari. And then leverages Visual Studio, so existing skills in Visual Studio and or Expression Studio to build Silverlight applications. There's a couple different ways you can do Silverlight with SharePoint. The easiest way, no touch, is just like you would do it in a normal web page. Create your Silverlight application, you just put an object tag inside your HTML, and you have Silverlight. little bit more involved, though still not, you know, as much as you can do, is the scenario where you build your Silverlight application. You store that inside SharePoint someplace. So you put it in your asset library, you put it in a document library. And then what you do is you use the built-in Silverlight web part that we have in 2010 now to point at that zap file and it runs. But again, it's just a Silverlight application, not necessarily interacting with SharePoint at this point. It's just a standalone app. And then we have the last part, the high touch part. And that's where you take and actually interact with SharePoint in some way within your application. So you add that richer visualization to your SharePoint site of your data and underlying information through Silverlight. And we do that using the object model that I spoke about, client object model. Or you can, again, you can use the services that are there. So we have the web services that SharePoint exposes can still be consumed by your application. So that would be, you know, the most tied together form. All right, so here again, what we want to do now is jump back over and do part of this. And this, again, is going to use that. This one's not too bad. We can do this one. Jump back over here. And really what we want to do is, if you remember our site, we had on the right-hand side, we kind of had the default SharePoint picture that comes on your default site. We're going to actually replace that with a Silverlight chart that takes all of our complaints and just puts them in a nice pie chart so that somebody could actually look at that and see who our biggest complainers are. Is it our platinum? Is it our gold? Which level is it? And can make some decisions off of that. And then eventually we'll get to a point where we actually drill down on how fast people are responding to things. So we're going to create a new application now and use the SharePoint object model. So we're going to create a new Silverlight application. We'll just call it application one. All right, and we do want to keep that. Let's see, so that's good, good. Silverlight app, all right. So the first thing we need to do is to access SharePoint, we're going to have to add the client object model. So I'm going to go in, typical add reference. If you've done SharePoint development, then you're familiar with the nice long path to go get to some of these things. So we're going to go out here and browse. We actually need to go to the C drive. And then we're going to go into program files. Oops, not that one. 64-bit got me there. All right, and then we're going to do common files, Microsoft shared, and all the nice long web server extensions, 14. And where are we going here? Template. All right, and the last thing we need, layouts, and client bin. All right, so we're all the way down here. And if we drill down, you see we now have a Microsoft SharePoint client and a client runtime. So we're just going to grab the client, say OK. So now we can, within Silverlight, we can reference SharePoint. All right. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to add a chart control because that's what we want to show. Go out here and we grab our chart, which is down here somewhere. There it is. Trade that over and we get a chart. And then we're going to go ahead and just kind of clean that up. So I'm going to use one of the really handy little features, do reset layout to all, make it fill my space, and it'll reset it to fill the entire space of my XAML form. And it's just not redrawing it. That's all right. Okay, the other thing I need to do is just go into my properties. Because we're going to, you know, run this out of browser. Hey, we're running out of browser. And then we're going to close that. Since it's running in its own little package there, we need to do that. There's a couple things we're going to change. We're going to go ahead here and in our constructor for our form, we need to do some wiring here. So we're just going to go ahead and add this in. Code snippets, and I've got a SharePoint Silverlight one. All right, so this is, oops, yeah, I've got to replace that one. There we go. This is going to just do some simple stuff. It's going to make sure that we're running out of the browser, and it's going to do some, you know, just cosmetic things on our site, so, or on our chart control itself. So I just need to go up here then. And the other thing that I've done is I am going to replace my chart just to kind of make it pretty. I'm going to go back out here and edit this. All right, so now we should be good. Control-F5 that. I'm going to build that. It's going to go ahead and deploy it to our site, and we can then... All right, it's not going to do that. So let me, since we are running long, let me go back out here. What's that? No, it should have been added in there. Let me double check. Should have been in there. It doesn't like... Maybe. No, I'm just going to, we don't have time to play with that one. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to edit this page. I'm going to delete that. And I'm going to insert from here. I'm going to go ahead and insert. I have this media and content. I have a SharePoint web part or Silverlight web part. I can add that, and then I can point it at my content. So I actually have to point it over at where it's at. So it's in customer relations demo site assets. That's where it gets put. And there we have our chart. So had it compiled and deployed, that's what it would have looked like. So good thing we already had one pre-canned. All right. So that, you know, that's just showing you simply how you can take SharePoint surface data from Silverlight into your SharePoint site in a more visually attractive way for your users. And you can kind of think about other ways that you could do that. You could do it in a nicer chart. It could be a bar chart. It could be any kind of data that you want to surface. All right, so the last one, where are surfacing data where your users are? So we know just, you know, from the studies and things that we've done as we get ready to release new versions of Office and start working on them, we know that a majority of people's day is spent inside of Office applications for the most part. Most information workers spend a majority of their time in Outlook and or one of the other applications. So one of the things as a developer that we can do to help them is not to build a new application that they have to go to find information, but take that information and surface it where they need it, right? So if they are going to be analyzing data in Excel, don't make them go into your application to get the data. Why not add into Excel the ability for them to get that data into Excel directly, right? That kind of a concept. And that way, you know, they can make those decisions faster and make them more productive, you know, make them really like using the application or the add-in in this case that you've built. So we're going to do that as our last demo. We're going to build an Excel add-in that's going to take that data and surface it inside of Excel in about 10 steps. So let's go ahead and start that. I'm going to go into Visual Studio again, and again, it's a new project. And in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into Office. I'm going to create an Excel 2010 add-in. And I don't care what it's called, so I'm just going to call it that. And then I have this existing project. You know, really what I've done is I've already kind of canned this project up for us. And what we're really going to do is just use that project. But I want to show you just that, you know, how straightforward. You just create the Excel add-in. Now that's going to be available on any Excel application that that's installed on. Any time you open a new instance of Excel, it'll be there. Versus a template, which is applied to a specific version. You know, when I open that particular template, then I get the add-in. In this case, I want an Office add-in that's going to be available across the board. So I'm going to go ahead and add an existing solution. Just to go ahead and make this go a little bit faster for us. And I'm going to go, let's see, that's out on my C drive. And demo, right? Yeah. Can't type. Demo, SharePoint, Blue Yonder feedback. And I'm going to add this project. And this is the same thing. It's an Excel add-in. What I'm going to do is make this my default. Set a startup. And this just has some code in it. Let me go ahead and look at it, just show you this. One of the interesting things here, how many people have done Office add-ins? Okay, so C# Office add-ins. How many people hate typing typed out missing everywhere when you call? Yeah. All right, so some of the enhancements that we made in Visual Studio and .NET 4 make it so that we don't have to do that. So as I scroll through some of this text here, what you'll notice is that we're making calls into the object model. Let me get to the Excel code. Into the object model, and you don't see any type dot missing. We actually have support for optional parameters now and things like that, and default values. So it makes your code a lot more easy to read. I know I as an Office add-in developer, hated typing type dot missing 15 times when I wanted to open a file or something. So this is great. The other thing we've done with Office is we've eliminated the need for worrying about PIAs. So the primary interop assemblies that you normally would have to make sure were on the machine and make sure that they were the right version. What we've done now is we remove that for you. There's a checkbox that when you in your application settings that takes care of that for you, and it's on there by default. So by default, the pieces that you need get distributed with your application, part of your app now. So no more PIAs to worry about. They're still out there if you need them, but no need to worry about those anymore. All right. So last thing we need to do here is I just need to recreate my reference. So I need to add my service reference. Whoops, I got to get rid of it first. It's already here. Cancel. It was created off of a specific Blue Yonder data service. So I'm just going to point it at the same one that we had before. So I'm going to go back out here and go to my service and just again recreate that. All right, and that's it. Now we hit F5. And yeah, activate now. And there's. Oh yeah. All right. I have to actually add my button code and stuff in here to hook this up, is what it doesn't like. All right, so let me go back in here and just do that. I need to go into my code, stop this, and we'll do this again here. But if I go back up here into my startup, I actually need to have it do something. So I need to go into my add data, which is going to go ahead and consume all this data using the OData feed. And then we're going to implement that. So if we go down here, oops, it's up here. It's missing the data piece that it needs. So if I go ahead and implement this, I've got a snippet to go ahead and add my OData in here, which is called Cell to Excel. Oh, not that one. We are just about out of time. All right. I'm sorry my VM is not acting right for me today. Darn it. Always on the day that you have a presentation. All right. So we are right on. I don't want to get us running late, so I'm going to go ahead and move on to the last slide, which is really just the recap that with SharePoint, We want you to leverage your existing skill sets with ASP.NET, with Visual Studio, and Silverlight, if you're using Silverlight, to take and build upon SharePoint, enhance your projects, connect data to people using some of the new services like Business Connectivity Service, and creating external content types and models, and using Silverlight to enable richer visualizations, and then taking that data to where your users are through add-ins, which unfortunately was our last demo that would not run. So with that, trials here. We do have, if you have questions, happy to answer questions, happy to show people a demo during lunch, if I can reboot my machine. And we also have, we have an MVP, Paul, here, who is one of our SharePoint MVPs. So Paul is around if anybody wants to ask SharePoint questions as well and you can't find me. Paul is going to be at the desk right outside here where our MVPs are at and around hanging out for people to go ahead and ask questions of Paul too. So with that, we are going to break for lunch, I believe. And then we're back in here again for the partner session in an hour.